Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, my name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Today, I would like to do a short show on what's called derivative status. There's usually a principle, and it depends on the immigration benefit. That benefit may be transferred to a spouse or a child. Sometimes age is a factor. So I'll give some examples. Sometimes individuals might flee from a war-torn country and come to the USA seeking what's called asylum, a safe haven. And there are five grounds for asylum, but the substance of how one gets asylum is not the subject of this broadcast. The idea is if the individual applies for asylum and is successful in obtaining asylum, the person, if they have, let's say, a spouse as an example, and or young children under 21, they may be able to bring those individuals, and that's a process called derivative asylum, and the legal term would be you come as an asylee. So what the spouse in the USA would do is to file an immigration form called the I-730, file that form with USCIS. I believe the filing fee is $0. And as it gets processed, USCIS sends the files to the respective American consulate. For example, if you live in Kenya, it would arrive at the American consulate in Nairobi, in Tanzania. It would be Dar es Salaam. In England, it would be, well, England probably wouldn't get asylum, but let's say Liberia, it'd be Monrovia, Liberia. So that's a process called derivative status. Another example is that, let's say an individual comes to the USA, maybe on a visitor or whatever reason, and they have a family. Let's say they came as a student and they, for whatever, got married, and then it turns out that they have children, young children, back in his or her respective country, and they were granted a VAWA, and the children were included in that application. The principal, the individual who received the benefit, can now have the younger children under 21, their cases transferred to the respective American consulate. In Nigeria, it would be Lagos as an example. In Ivory Coast, it would be Côte d'Ivoire in Ivory Coast. And that person would then show up at the American consulate and get his or her green card, process for the green card in the USA. Another example is, let's say a person, let's say a sibling, files for another sibling, but while the application is going on, the sibling in the USA might have, let's say, a work visa. It could be an H-1B, it could be an L-1. There are a multitude of work visas. But a brother or sister had filed what's called the I-130. That person who is in the USA could adjust his or her status. And when that happens, then the husband, as an example, could petition for his wife by filing form number I-824. The application goes to America. And let's say he has a wife and three children, they all could be processed at the American consulate in, let's say, Cairo, Egypt, as an example. So, as I said today, it talks about derivative status. Also, one needs to keep in mind that we discuss VAWA, we discuss I-130, but let's say a family won the diversity lottery and they have young children, let's say age 5, 10, 8, whatever the ages may be, and they won the diversity lottery, and as soon as the parents are qualified to apply for for United States citizenship and they have young children, upon the parents becoming a U.S. citizen, you know, they take the oath ceremony, those children are grandfathered in as you call them, you say that they derive citizenship, citizenship by derivation. And in some cases, they can apply for what's called a certificate of citizenship. It's quite an expensive proposition. It's about $600 today to file such a form. So what the parents can do in this case could just apply for that child's passport and everything will be fine. I still recommend applying for the certificate of citizenship, because let's say you were to lose your passport, or you, let's say these individuals, you know, like their culture, they went back home on vacation, found love in the respective country. It may be a good idea to have the certificate of citizenship so that they can petition for spouse, whoever that may be. So those are some of the things that people need to be aware of. I have this broadcast because, you know, some parents might delay in becoming a U.S. citizen. And had they been responsible and get citizenship timely, and the kids are grandfathered in as citizens, some of the children may end up with criminal problems later on. Not that I'm encouraging people to commit crimes, but, you know, that would save them from any sort of deportation. Derivative citizenship technically is a deportation defense. So that's important. My position is that if you're going to live in the USA, you should avail yourself to whatever it is that's available. You know, being able to vote, being able to hold a US passport, able to hold certain federal and state jobs. So those are some of the benefits of becoming a US citizen. Since I'm long time, I'll digress also and refresh everybody's memory that there are four ways to become a United States citizen. If you're born in the USA, you become a US citizen by birth. A parent, as I said earlier, could have their green cards, bring their minor children. The parent become a US citizen if the minor children are under 18 at the time they derive citizenship. And there's no requirement that age 18, they have to apply for the benefit. Once it attaches, it attaches. You don't really lose it. So you could apply for, you came in and you didn't timely apply citizenship, and it should have been done at age 18, but you're 100 years old today. You're still a U.S. citizen by derivation. Another way is that, let's say a U.S. citizen is working abroad or has a child outside of the USA. That child, upon birth, becomes a U.S. citizen. I think there's a form, rather than saying the wrong thing, you would apply for the birth certificate at the United States Consulate abroad. You could even apply for the passport abroad. So that's called birth abroad. And then what's more common or more tedious, more of a headache for a lot of people, is that you have to become naturalized. Generally, you have to wait 5 years, but there's some situation. To every general rule, there are exceptions. And one exception is that if you're a serviceman, you might be able to, your spouse who is an alien, who is just a green card holder, might be able to short circuit that to much less time. If you're with a company, a USA company or an affiliate that's bringing commerce, trade and commerce to the USA, there's no jurisdictional requirement and there's no time requirement. You can just apply to become a US citizen. Assume that your spouse is a United States citizen also. You may be working for a nonprofit organization, an NGO, non-governmental entity, and you might be able to short circuit the 5 years. Generally, if you're married to a United States citizen, let's say the principal was a or is a citizen, and you are seeking the benefit, you might be able to apply to become a US citizen at 3 years. Generally, if it's based on marriage, your spouse, United States citizen spouse, has to show up for the interview also. When you're trying to become a US citizen, 3 years of marriage. So it's important, as I said, you know, being a U.S. citizen, you have the ability to vote. Keep in mind that your desire not to vote is a statement saying that whoever gets in power, you're happy with that. So you shouldn't really make a fuss. Even though somebody who you don't particularly like is running or becomes the president, at least you made your statement by showing that you are not in favor of that person. So by you casting your vote the way you feel, you're making your statement to say that who you desire. Again, my name is Marcus Jarvis. I'm an immigration attorney here in the cities. I'm the founding member and partner of the law firm Marcus Jarvis Law Limited. Check us out, www.m.jlawltd.com. I'm also the author of a book called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. I think it's a good product. It was written for a wide variety of audiences, and you should check one out on Amazon. Just recently, the book became available as an audiobook in English. We are working on the Spanish version at this point, and the book is in 6 languages: French, German, Italian, Portuguese, French. I said French already, English and Spanish, and it's also in a paperback in English and Spanish. So check out the book. As I said, I think it's a good product. And if you think we can help you, give us a call. Our number is 763-425-5447. We'll be happy to hear from you. Have a good evening. Bye. Law. This is Marcus. Mr. Connor. Well, Mr. Connor, obviously you don't understand what's going on. The purpose of the I-212 is to remove the deportation. Mr. Connor, the I-212 is to remove the deportation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. Sure, bye.